Today's episode is sponsored by Adam and Eve. You know, I read so many stories about cheating partners and unhappy marriages. Maybe people wouldn't be in such unhappy relationships if they spent more time nurturing their love life. That's why you should check out today's sponsor, Adam and Eve. They've got toys for men, toys for women, and toys for... how should I put this? Well, it's not exactly r/am I the butthole, more like r/I'm in the butthole. And yeah, I realize that ordering adult toys can be a little scary because you may be concerned about privacy. Don't worry, Adam and Eve offers discreet and free shipping for your package. Trust me, these people are experts in your package. You can get 50% off on just about any item, along with free shipping and rush processing. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Then enter code r/ at checkout. That's r/, r/SLASH at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code r/ to get your discount, plus 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Use code r/. Today's episode is sponsored by Liquid IV. I work out every week, so it's important to stay hydrated. Plus, on top of working out, I've got a 3-year-old whose favorite after-meal activity is to run laps, like the little psychopath that she is. Clearly, I need all the hydration I can get. That's why I like to use Liquid IV for my workouts and just for my daily drinking. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. And I mean, yeah, vitamins and electrolytes are nice and all, but what about taste? They've got white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and my favorite, lemon lime. Tastes great to me. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code r/ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code r/ at liquidiv.com. Welcome to r/ Malicious Compliance, where a gangbanger learns a valuable lesson. Our next Reddit post is from No Yesterday. I was in middle school in the 90s. I loved growing up in the 90s, and even though there were gangs in my area, I generally avoided trouble. One of my classes had this big field trip planned, and they had us selling chocolates to raise money for our trip. I was pretty good at it, and I was selling at a good rate. I would take the bus, public transportation, to school, and my stop was about 2 blocks from my home. I got off at my stop one day with my box of chocolates, and there was this older kid, around 16 to 17, pretty big for his age, hanging out there. He saw me and came towards me. This guy is clearly a gangbanger. He comes up to me and says, "Hey homie, where you from?" He was asking what gang I was from. That wasn't the first time I got challenged like this, so I just reply, "I don't bang, man. I'm just a junior high kid." The guy looks at my box of chocolates and takes it from me. "What's this?" he says. I tell him it's nothing. It's something for school. He opens the box and sees a bunch of money in there. He grabs the bills, around $15, my sales for the day, and takes a bunch of chocolate as well. He says, "Tomorrow, you're gonna give me $20 more. If you don't, we're gonna have a real effing problem." I walk away feeling scared and pissed off. I realize that I'm gonna have to pay back the lost money from my birthday money. And I definitely didn't want to give this guy any more money. I think about it and decide that I'll get off at a later bus stop from now on and just walk a little more to avoid this guy. The next day, this is what I do. I stuff my box in my backpack just in case, and I exit about 2 stops later. I don't see the guy, and I think that I've solved my problem. Then I get to the liquor store a block away from home, and who do I see but the idiot gangbanger? He says, "Hey man, you didn't forget about me, did you?" I said, "Look man, I don't have any money right now. I don't even have my chocolates. I left them at home." I shouldn't have said that. He said, "Okay, let's go to your house, and you're gonna give me the money or something else if you don't got it." I began getting real nervous. My mom was at work, and my grandma was home. I definitely don't want to bring this guy home with her there. I glance at him and notice the tattoos on his arms. At this point, I saw the perfect opportunity for malicious compliance. I tell him, "I don't think that's a good idea. Why don't you just let me go, man?" He grabs me by my collar and says, "I tell you what to do when you effing do it, you understand?" I nod my head and tell him to follow me. Now, it's time to give a little background. My neighbor, who lived in the house next to mine, was a veterano, a veteran of one of the biggest, most notorious gangs in the city. He was in his 40s and a real chill dude. He loved my grandma because she would often share plates of food that she made with him and his wife, and he was fond of me because I taught his 8-year-old boy how to play basketball. His son had a disability, some kind of problem with one of his legs, so most other kids wouldn't play with him, but I often did. Let's call my neighbor OG. OG always had a bunch of guys over at his house. He made sure they never caused problems, and they were all respectful towards my family in particular. So, back to this idiot gangbanger. Those tattoos on his arm, I realized that he was from the same gang as OG. I have a big smile as I'm walking home, and this gangbanger asks me, "Why are you smiling, pendejo?" which means idiot. I say, "No reason," and keep walking home. As we get closer, I see a bunch of guys hanging out at OG's house. The bully narrows his eyes, then smiles because he recognizes some of these guys. We get to the OG's house and the bully says, "Wait here, pendejo, let me talk to my homies." The OG is sitting on his porch and the idiot starts greeting some of the guys and then heads towards OG and greets him in a reverential manner. OG notices me and says my name. "Hey OP, what's up?" The bully turns to look at me and I say, "That guy told me to wait here. I have to go home and give him my money." OG stands up and says, "Why do you have to give this guy money?" I say, "Because he told me yesterday at my bus stop that the $15 in chocolates that he took from me wasn't enough, and I had to give him more today." The bully says, "You know this kid, OG?" OG gives this bully the scariest look I've ever seen and tells him to shut the F up. OG looks back at me and asks, "Is this about those chocolates you're selling?" I say, "Yeah." OG asks me how many chocolates I have left to sell. I say about 50. He tells me not to worry, because this bully is going to pay me for the 50 I have left, plus 20 from the day before, and an extra 50 for my trouble. He tells me to keep whatever else I sell. He tells me to go home, and that the bully would be back later with my money. About an hour later, there's a knock on my door, and the bully has an envelope and says, "Here's 120 bucks, little homie. I messed up. I'm sorry. Do you have Nintendo? I brought you some games." I just stood there stunned, thinking how I would have never guessed that getting robbed had so many benefits. I didn't see the bully too many times after that, but whenever I did, he would wave at me and never bothered me again. Down in the comments, we have this story from New Conversation. One of my friends had a daughter who was badly bullied in high school by older boys and girls. The bullies were 16 to 17, and the girl was 14. My husband rides a Harley, is tattooed, and happens to know some 1%ers casually. The day that my husband and two other bikers turned up at the school to give her a ride home on his bike was the last day that she was ever given any trouble at all. Alright, I'll admit, I have a pretty sheltered life. I've never really been around a lot of crime and gang activity or anything like that. But in the comments of this thread, I'm seeing a lot of stories where basically people are saying that actual gangs will be relatively respectful of the neighborhood they live in. I'm kind of gathering it's because if you piss off your civilian neighbors, then that's just asking for trouble because they're more likely to snitch on you or call the cops or whatever, I suppose. Our next Reddit post is from Oddzone. "I have a hobby that turned into a small business. It's not a lot of money, but it's kind of nice and it's a thing that I enjoy doing. Over the last 5 years or so, I've developed a reputation as a man of my word and someone who provides a great product at a fair price. I live in an area that has a lot of vacation homes around a lake. These homes are owned by people who have $500,000 or more to blow on a vacation home. Mary and Steve were two of these people. Mary and Steve own a couple of businesses, and they're known for treating people fairly. Even people they fired will tend to acknowledge that they had it coming. Mary stopped at my shop back in September. She wanted to hire me to make Steve's Christmas gift. I could do what she wanted me to do, so I gave her a quote, $5,500. She agreed instantly. We shook hands and I went to work. I got it finished by December 20th, just in time. I had to take a few days off of my regular job to make it happen. Mary was thrilled at the results. She went to get me a check, and she wanted to write the check out for $11,000, double what we agreed on. I declined, telling her that $5,500 was what we agreed to, and that was all I was going to take. December 26 rolls around, and Steve shows up thanking me for his Christmas gift, gushing over the craftsmanship. Then he complained that I wouldn't take the bonus money that I was offered. I explained to him, Mary and I agreed on the price, and we shook hands on it. A deal's a deal. Steve says to me, well, at least let me buy you and your girlfriend dinner. 21 times. He had this big grin on his face. I should have known that he was up to something, so I thought about it, thinking he must have meant local restaurants, and I agreed. Then he said, my choice. Any place I choose, all on my dime. In hindsight, this should have clued me into the fact that he had something up his sleeve. I smiled, laughed, and said okay. The entire month of January went by, and I didn't hear anything from Steve and Mary, which is fine because we're not exactly in the same social circles. At the end of January, all of a sudden my girlfriend just got super happy, like giddy. I knew that she had a secret that she was keeping from me, but I wasn't sure what. She told me to pack my bags for a Valentine's Day trip, that we'd be gone for 10 days and for me to bring my passport. We get to the airport, and who would you guess was there but Steve and Mary? I was shocked. Steve said that he had a debt to pay and he owed us 21 meals at a time and place of his choosing. And he chose Rome during Valentine's Day. I tried to say no, but he threw my words back in my face. A deal's a deal. The four of us spent the next week in Rome, Italy. Steve and Mary paid for our flights, hotel room, and 21 meals. Me and my girlfriend had to pay for all of our tours and transportation personally. We got back home February 22nd. We had a great time. So I went through OP's post history to try to figure out what it is that OP makes, and unfortunately he didn't share any details. But if I had to guess, Steve is probably a boater, and OP made something for Steve's boat, which he really wants slash really likes, but that's just a guess. Our next Reddit post is from Brew30. About 14 years ago, I went to work for a major petroleum company in Indianapolis. Over my 4 years there, I really applied myself and gained enough knowledge to be more knowledgeable than the most senior guy there. Well, one day, the stuff hit the fan and we were looking at a potentially major spill because the packing in a pump had failed. Nobody was doing anything, and I'm a take charge kind of guy, so I started barking out orders. Now, you have to understand, this would have been an EPA nightmare, so there was no time for niceties. The older employees later complained about me, and I was called into the manager's office and was told about the complaints that I just barked orders and I didn't ask nicely. He told me that I did the right thing, and next time, if it wasn't going to be a major issue, to just give them enough rope to hang themselves with. Alright, bet. So later, I saw that the same people had made a mistake that would cause tanks to overflow. And while that wouldn't be a huge deal, it would bring scrutiny from the health environment, safety, and security part of our company. I mentioned to the guys that they might want to check the valve lineup because something didn't look right. Well, they told me to mind my own business because it was time for me to go home. I called my manager from my car and told him that he should probably start heading to the terminal because two tanks are about to overrun. I said, I tried to warn them, but they told me to mind my own business. I didn't even get halfway home before the tanks started overflowing. As the only first responder not involved in the incident, I had to return to the facility and supervise cleanup until the big guns from corporate came in about 3 hours later. All three of those morons were put on probation and eventually fired for more screw-ups. The beauty of this was that after the incident, they were told to follow what I said explicitly and never again complain that someone didn't say please and thank you in a crisis. They all hated me until the day that I left. Why? Because I was the only person to take charge when no one else would. Down in the comments, we have a similar story from Wild Thing. I was in a hospital room with his father and his terrible wife, who's not my mother, by the way. She was standing near him while he ate his dinner. He starts coughing, and I call out to him to say something to me, but his eyes are bulging and he's obviously choking. I barked at her to get out of the way, and she stayed where she was. I again barked at her to move out of the way. She didn't, so I pushed her out of the way, stepping on her toes as I passed her. Then I started pounding on my father's back. A nurse heard the commotion and came in to help. My stepmom still hadn't moved and was complaining that I was rude and stood on her feet and I didn't need to do anything because the nurse was there and she knows more than me. The nurse told my stepmom that she heard me order her to move and that I did exactly what had to be done and next time move when there's a crisis. She was not happy about it. Our next Reddit post is from Anxious Badger. I'm a 21-year-old woman, and I was born with a malformation of my inner ear. On top of making my right ear stick out like an elephant, it's also caused me to have balancing issues. To prevent me from toppling over, I use a cane for support and balance. Yesterday, I was taking a train back to my university city. I always get the closest seats to the door, since if the train starts and I'm standing, the chances of me losing my balance and falling over are high. Unfortunately, this is speaking from experience. These seats usually have an indication of priority for people with moving impairments, and this train was no different. I got on and sat down with my headphones in. Not 1 minute goes by, and I'm startled by a tap on my shoulder. I pulled out my headphones and look up to see an older-looking man. The first thing he said was, "You need to move," while pointing at the priority seating sign. I was flustered and only able to stutter, "But I do," before he went away mumbling about not having time for this. I thought that would be the end of it, but I was wrong. A minute later, the man came back with the train attendant. He just pointed at me and said, "Tell her to give me that seat. I have priority." And then he made some other ramblings that I don't remember. The attendant wasn't mean or anything. She just said, "Ma'am, this is priority seating. Would you please give your seat to this gentleman?" I wasn't even trying to do a cue malicious compliance moment. I'm just terrified of confrontation, and I would rather risk waddling away to another seat, even though the train was already moving. I have one of those metallic folding canes, so I unfolded it and leaned on it to get up. Before I can leave, the attendant just starts waving me to sit back down and says, "Oh, no, it's okay, ma'am. Just stay in your seat." The old man didn't say anything. He just looked annoyed, like he didn't understand why he couldn't have the seat. The attendant led the guy away to find him another seat, while he grumbled the entire time. I just sat there and enjoyed my faceplant-free train ride while drawing and listening to music. I never saw the old guy again, but the attendant smiled at me whenever she passed by. Anyone else find it kind of ironic that this guy was so desperate for priority seating, but he was able to easily walk through the entire train to get an attendant and then stand there waiting for that seat? That was r/maliciouscompliance, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast, because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.